Hello, everybody, and welcome to Soul Speak. I'm your host, Sheldon Pisnat, and in this lovely and awesome session for your soul, we're going to be talking with Junie Moon Schreiber, who is going to share with us how to shed the shame and live life out loud. Junie Moon Schreiber has been called the inner critic tamer and self-love expert. She is a certified shadow work facilitator, transformational coach, creator of the Mission Is Possible transformation program, author of the soon-to-be-released book Loving the Whole Package, and producer of the acclaimed film Shed the Shame. Junie helps people step powerfully into their soul purpose with grace and ease, and absolutely adores seeing people embrace life fully, bringing them better jobs, healthier relationships, and abundance across all levels. Hi, Julie. Junie, excuse me. Welcome. How are you? It's so funny
because
we've been talking for a while and that slipped out. I don't know where it came from.
It's all good. Hi. I'm so happy to be sharing this time with you and sharing my work. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I love your work, and I love shadow work, such an, in my opinion, integral part of the transformational and growth journey. And why don't we get started in you talking a little bit about the, you know, what is shadow work? You can define your definition of shadow work and how you discovered it. What led you to this, doing this work?
Absolutely. Well, the way I see shadow work is, well, it's a phenomenal body of work, personal growth work founded by Cliff Berry. And to me, it just breaks the cycle of sabotage, the self-sabotage that sometimes just keeps showing up, and it breaks that cycle. I discovered it just by chance. I was in a workshop, gosh, like 11, 12 years ago at this point, and it didn't say it was a shadow work workshop. The workshop was run by Alisa Starkweather, who is now my dear friend and certainly mentor and inspiration. And in this workshop, I was just blown away by how people were dropping into such sacred space, having deep transformation, and it was just so safe. It was this way she worked with people that created this container of safety where they were able to shift things right on the spot, that it was just so powerful, and I just knew I had to learn more, and I just dove right in.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let's talk about what is shadow what is shadow work?
Yeah.
And why,
I guess that,
what
that's
is shadow?
A good place to go.
I think, you know, because when I hear shadow work and shadow, I've got to, like, I hear you mention Cliff, I've got to throw out the, you know, kudos and props to Carl Jung, of course, and all the folks after that came and before, because these wisdom teachings that we know have been around for eons, for eternity, wisdom teaches, there's teachings. So let's talk about your definition of shadow work and maybe perhaps through Cliff's work, and what is shadow and why is it important?
Great. Yes. You know, adding on to what you just said about, you know, Jung's work and all the different people that have tapped into the shadow work, which I'll dive into in a second. Cliff has taken a lot of that work and has created his body of work that I am certified in. And so, yeah, let's go right to the shadow. What is the shadow? The shadow, which is a Jungian term, is the part of us, a quality of who we are for some reason we disowned, a part of us that has gotten shamed somewhere along the way, and we decided we couldn't be like that. We couldn't act like that. And how we talk about it in shadow work is, you know, we're born with all this possibility, this full range of personality. And then we have life school, and we have experiences that shape us, that tell us, you know, be like this, don't be like this, this is acceptable, this isn't acceptable. And we get messages from our parents, well-meaning parents, and our culture and religion. And we start to get wired. We start to get programmed with how to be safe, what is allowable to be. And so we start cutting off parts of who we are, and we lose access to some really beautiful parts and vital energy that we throw in what we call the shadow bag. You know, we kind of go, oh, anger is bad. Let me just, like, never be angry. And we throw anger in the shadow bag, and suddenly anger is in shadow. And now we're people pleasers, and we don't speak up for ourselves. You know, maybe we throw out judgment and say, oh, I don't want to be a judgmental person. And we throw judgment in the shadow bag. And yet we need the energy of judgment to be able to be discerning. We need the energy of anger to be able to set boundaries and to know who we are separate from other people. We've lost touch with some energies that we've thrown away and disconnected from, that we've put, you know, in this shadow bag, so to speak, this metaphoric shadow bag. And shadow work that is an opportunity to take it all back one by one. You don't want to dump out the whole bag. That could be overwhelming. But one by one, we look at what's not working in our life. We see which part of us we have lost touch with, and with specially designed processes that is in this body of work, we're able to get back in touch with all of who we are consciously and take back our power from the inside. Does that make sense? Sheldon, are you there?
I am here. Sorry,
oh, good.
My
oh,
internet
good.
Cut out there for a second.
Oh no, no good.
Yeah,
I was like,
that
oh,
totally
no,
makes
I'm
sense.
I'm talking to myself.
I ran away. I saw the shadow and said, "Forget this work. I'm out of here. I don't want to."
Shadows are scary. I'm getting out of here.
You know what? And they are. And you know, often they'll present themselves.
Be.
At least in my experience, and people I've worked with, and colleagues, and. As an image of an actual shadow in our psyche. You can
mm-hmm.
present that image
mm-hmm.
in our, let's say your eyes are closed and you're doing some kind of meditation or getting going deep within and just opening to the material that's there. And it's just great to know that, you know, it's nothing to be afraid of. In fact,
no.
if you just stay with that image that can look scary, there's wonderful freedom, liberation, integration. Through that experience. Now, why is it important? Let's talk a little bit about this real quick, because I want to segue, and I know you were going to get
mm-hmm.
to this sooner or later. But
sure.
why is it important to? And this is a very leading question. Maybe I'll cut right to the chase.
Go for it. I'm right there with you.
Okay. The shadow, if we don't address it, can come out sideways. Those parts. Can cut if and so there's a real importance to doing this work other than just regaining all that psychic energy and feeling
mm-hmm.
whole and complete inside. My God, that's great in and of itself. But also just so that these places of us don't come out sideways and self-sabotage
mm-hmm.
or all the different. Can you speak to that a little bit and give us more leverage of why we should be doing this work?
Absolutely. Well, one of the things you just said about the shadow can appear scary. It's, you know, what I have found that's even scarier is not knowing why we do what we do and coming out sideways. The coming out sideways meaning, you know, we act in a way that isn't in alignment with how we really want to be. So, for example, using anger again, if for some reason, somewhere along the line, we found that anger is inappropriate. We were told anger is inappropriate. You know, young lady, you know, be seen, not heard. Or we got the message that, you know, young ladies are supposed to be good little girls. And then they grow up and they're holding back their voice. They're challenged with knowing who they are. And they're just trying to please everybody. That, you know, they've disowned that part. It's in shadow. When they least expect it, the sideways thing is it comes out because it is part of them, but it comes out in a way that can harm others or harm themselves. Sometimes flash rage, sometimes rage towards themselves. And there's a cost. You know, a quick example was a client of mine. I'll just call her Cheryl for the description. And she, you know, she was a really successful businesswoman. Like, she had it going on. But when it came to relationships, she had such a fear of confrontation, had such a fear of speaking up when this person stepped on her toes. And when we did the shadow work, the cost, the sideways thing was she would beat herself up internally. She would feel like she's the one that messed up. She was the one that wasn't being as loving, and she would take whatever happened with him internally, and she felt so scared and disempowered and really alone. And so when we worked, we found out that at a very young age, literally, her parents told her that anger is not acceptable in this family. It is a bad quality. Be quiet. Be quiet. Do not be seen. And she took that into her adulthood and had really big challenges with her relationships. And so I worked with her with shadow work. We got her to step into an archetypal energy we call the warrior, have access to what it's like inside to claim her truth, to feel, you know, that power inside of her to say, wait a second, this is not okay, and to feel that boundary. And after, you know, the process, I remember her saying, oh, my God, I had no idea that was inside of me. I was so scared of that energy, and now I feel so grounded and able to see the difference between me and how I want to show up in a relationship. And even she said that she can feel that she can approach this person in a conscious way without being so scared. And that's the beauty of it. It brings back these energies so that we can actually use them consciously, and they don't come back and bite us sideways and hurt people or hurt ourselves.
Yes, thank you. That was such a wonderful explanation. Absolutely. And
cool.
As you know, and I'm being a cheerleader for transformational work and growth here, and just going to throw out another great reason of reclaiming that energy is also making
yes.
us more powerful creators and manifestors. So it's good to get on, and you know, if you're here listening to this call, you're already on this path. So I just want to provide a little extra inspiration. So let's talk about how this work, how shadow work can help us love ourselves. And, you know, how do we do that, especially with the parts where maybe we feel unworthy of love and insecure
yep.
and inadequate?
Yep, exactly. So, you know, one of the things you introduced me as is the, you know, inner critic tamer. So, you know, when we can identify the voice in our head that does criticize us, that does have us feel less than amazing, that's, to me, when we can really start to shift things. Because to me, when you start to do this work, it's transformation, and it does stick because we're getting to the core of the why am I feeling not good enough. And so when we can identify that voice and we can start to get that inner critic to work with us, literally, you know, engage that voice, engage that part, because that's what we do in shadow work. We work with parts and we engage these parts. When that part can see that its strategies are harming us instead of supporting us, because at the end of the day, we just want to be happy. You know, we want to survive, but we want to be happy, but we're in survival mode. When we can engage that inner critic and get it to work with us, we can break the cycle of self-sabotage and actually move forward and actually feel happier inside. When we lower the volume of the inner critic, we can then amp up the voices that really support us. And in shadow work, we call that the sovereign voice, the voice that knows our worth, that knows our value. And when we can start to really feel, truly feel that love, and feel that worthiness inside, we are able to move forward and do some amazing things in the world. Was that specific enough, or do you want me to keep going?
I was just appreciating that term, the sovereign voice.
Ah,
nice.
Yeah.
Yep. I had a specific question for you that came up while you're sharing this. So during the process, as we get in touch with, let's just call them the really early aspects of self. You know, in human development, as you know, and as a lot of people probably know, the way the child, the toddler's mind works is that often out of a sense of just feeling safe and wanting to control what feels quite helpless, it can we can make meaning about situations that feel helpless and fearful and all of that, about us and make decisions that it must be my fault. I must not be enough. Something's wrong with me. So when you get in touch, you know, with those places, those voices, maybe that the we could call them the early roots of the inner critic, is that the, do you go right to that? Do you go back to those, you know, those early base of the upside down pyramid, or how do you work with those really early aspects?
Great question. So yes, that's what we do. We track, well, we always start with what is it they're really wanting in their life? What does a person really want to manifest, or how do they want to feel? And we see what's stopping them, and then we track it back to that original source, or the best that we can. You know, where do they pick up that message that they're not good enough, or it's their fault? And it is an early message, and it's an old message, and it's inside of them. And so when we're able to track it back, I'm not going to kind of pull it into pieces of inner critic or the archetypes, because that could be, like, we can go on for hours. But let's just say that you know, we find that there is a three-year-old that's scared and feeling like it's their fault. I mean, when we're little, we don't have a lot of tools. We're little kids. We're vulnerable. You know, we need our parents. They're our gods, right? And so we do pick up these strategies to get through, to be taken care of. We need love. We need to have them really be there for us. And sometimes these strategies we pick up to be able to be okay with them have us internalize these messages so that we are okay and we don't feel that lack of love. So with shadow work, there's lots of different ways to that. Sometimes we'll do a process that we take that little child, that voice, that part that is feeling really vulnerable, and we bring in another part that maybe they didn't have when they were kids. Maybe it is a blessing from the divine, or maybe it is an ideal mother figure that comes and scoops up that little one and says, "That's not true. You know, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, and that message was not true. It's not your fault, and you're perfect the way you are." And so we have them in that little kid receive that message, breathe it in, feel it in their body, and rewire the original message that they internalize so that they can have a new message and feel it in their body. Or sometimes we might have them go back to that time in their life where they're feeling the inadequacy or they're not good enough. And we have them take a stand with that voice that says, "You're not good enough." And that little kid can't really do it because they're tiny and vulnerable. So we have them bring in another part that can really, you know, speak up and set a boundary with that voice that says, "You're not good enough," and have them feel what it's like to say, "Hey, I am good enough." And again, feel in their body what it's like to take a stand and speak something that maybe they've never spoken before. And things change. Things change for them.
This might be an obvious question for a lot of you folks out there, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why is it so important to feel things in our bodies?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of us have done therapy and workshops, and we can understand a lot. We could know a lot of our past history. We could intellectually understand that, you know, my mom was this, my dad was that, I had this experience, I was bullied as a kid, and now I'm afraid to be seen and hurt. And we could know our journey intellectually, and that's a great first step. If, and this is my professional and personal opinion, if we don't get past the intellect and get inside our bodies where our inner child lives, where viscerally we had these experiences, where our emotions got triggered inside our body, we are missing a huge place that is still running our show. And so much work right now that's out there is showing what a small percentage of our brain is consciously choosing, consciously figuring stuff out and running our show. But like 90% of our being is unconscious, and so much lies in our body. So when we go in and we're able to feel those emotions and feel the pain and feel the joy and have it anchored in, transformation sticks. And that's the difference between thinking and feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Because the rewiring really does happen at that cellular memory and deep, deep feeling cellular level. That's where the energy, you know, is, and we want to get in there. Let's talk a little bit about people and why, you know, why do we feel so much fear and limit ourselves? You know, that seems to be, especially now, with what some people would call just this global transformation, this kind of up-leveling.
Yep.
A
lot going on. So, you know, I mentioned before, we're wired for survival. We're not really wired for pleasure. And I always use this example. You know, you could be having the most amazing, off-the-charts, great sex of your life, but if your house is burning down, you're getting out of Dodge. And that's sort of how we're programmed, you know, on a DNA level. We want to survive, and we don't want pain. And so at a very young age, we start picking up a lot of information on how to stay safe. And that's great because we need that part. Fear, I always talk to people about fear. Fear is an amazing emotion. It's just overshooting sometimes and keeping us stuck or in our comfort zone because we're scared of what's on the other side of the comfort zone. And that's a good thing, and there's a cost. And so so with fear, we need to be able to access it. We need to be able to see, are we truly at risk, or is it old programming? Is it messages from the past? Like I mentioned, I was bullied in, you know, as a teen. And so if I'm about to go on stage and I'm feeling some jitters, you know, in the past I was cut off at the knees because I was so terrified to be seen, because in the past I'd been hurt. But is it truly a risk? And with this work, we can kind of pull it apart and see what truly is the risk, and what do we not, what might we be afraid of, and what really do we need to be afraid of? And so when we start to look at how we're setting up our life and what we're choosing to do or not choosing to do out of fear, we need to come home to what's old and what's a real, you know, where are we now? And to me, we're updating the software. And so fear is an amazing emotion to help us open up to possibilities. And then we also need to have all the other energy so that we can really live fully and joyfully.
Yes. You know, what's your take on fear? I know, let me be more specific. I'm getting somewhere. Do you... Your take on fear, specifically what I meant was, I had this whole awesome train of thought, and now it just is gone.
Derailed, looking for the crane to get it back on.
That happens.
Yeah, it does.
Let's talk about loving the whole package. If it does come back, it does.
Yeah.
Loving the whole package,
yep.
You know, to me, that speaks to unconditional love. And that's also your book that you've got coming out. Tell us about unconditional love and also about the book.
Okay, great. Well, just like the title says, loving the whole package, to me, this is about loving all of who we are, all of who we are, our imperfections, if we even want to call them imperfections, the things that we don't necessarily like about ourselves, to have deep compassion and love for all the parts, all these pieces of who we are. And that, you know, shadow work embraces all of who we are, shines a light on all those parts and integrates them and helps us to feel our wholeness. You know, to me, this work is kind of, I sometimes call myself a soul cleaner, S-O-U-L cleaner, because I truly believe that we are born and we are this pure essence, this divine bright light of soul energy. And then we get kind of corroded. We get the sticky stuff all over us and we need to clean it up. And when we get to let go of some of the messages that have us feel inadequate or scared to be who we are, we're able to love ourselves in a deeper way. And to me, I will say that being vulnerable is such a beautiful way of showing up in the world, but we can only be so vulnerable that we're not going to get hurt. And when you love all of who you are and you can really allow yourself deep compassion and acceptance, like truly love all of who you are, loving the whole package, then you become more easeful, you become more relaxed, and life changes. You know, how you show up in relationships, how you show up in your work, and so you have access to all these pieces, and it's a beautiful thing. And for me, my work, one of my greatest passions is helping people love all of who they are so that they can truly shine their divine gift.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's what it's about.
Amen. It is.
You know, in the book, and it's coming out at the end of September, and I'm just so, so excited. It's a combination of shadow work, where the first part of the book dives into this body of work. I give so many pieces. I share exercises. I bring people into the journey of shadow work, and I really teach the model. And in the second part of the book, I share my transformational journey, how I really came from a place of deep shame and self-hatred to the place where I have had that transformation that sticks through this body of work, and where I'm at now. And I bring people on that journey. And, you know, some people said I gave the farm away in this book because I'm like, but I have to give them this exercise and I have to share this story. And I'm so excited to be sharing this body of work and my journey. And the book is Loving the Whole Package, and you can find that at lovingthewholepackage.com. And I'm thrilled. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing who you are, your journey, and the wisdom teachings that have helped you so much.
Thank you.
The perfect segue into your free gift.
So great.
We're giving out free gifts, and let's talk about that because that's a good one too.
All right, cool. It is. You know, whenever I think of free gifts, I always think of like parties and goodie bags, and it's like, you know, ooh, what's in the goodie bag? So it brings me back to my childhood. And so in the goodie bag is my ebook that is How to Tame the Inner Critic. And I literally take people step by step to discover not only why they have the inner critic, but how to befriend the inner critic and make it an ally. And in this ebook/workbook, they're able to begin that relationship with that part and begin to break that cycle of self-sabotage by engaging this inner critic.
Big piece.
It is a big piece. Yep, it is a big piece. Big piece, and a great place to start when people are really beating themselves up and stopping themselves from, whether it's, you know, new love or amping up a business, got to tame that inner critic.
And get it to work with you, with us. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And our hearts, aspirations.
can I just share one more thing about
nope.
the inner critic? Nope, we're done.
Yeah,
no.
Of course you can. Yeah, you're
we're
cut
done.
Off.
No
you
more from
made
you.
You've many awesome things. You filled your quota. And you have a token
Da-dum.
For the next one.
One of the things I love about shadow work and this work is, you know, we don't shame any part of who we are. There is a reason we have every single part in us, including the inner critic. And we're just, when we start to really see that some of the parts of us that we have been hating about ourselves and beating ourselves up about actually has value, we're just not accessing it or using it to the best of our ability, or we just haven't engaged, we don't know how to engage it in a healthy way. When we start to really see that we have been loving ourselves from the very beginning, we just have had some strange strategies along the way that we've picked up, things start to really blossom. And the ebook really helps people see that there's a reason for the inner critic. We just need to tweak it a little bit and get it to work with us in a different way. And that's the same for every part of who we are. There's nothing bad about us, and we're not broken.
Yeah. We just made decisions to the best of our ability at certain times. And in the series earlier, someone had shared the phrase, self-sabotage is misguided self-love. And
exactly.
That's another good thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Awesome. Thanks. Gosh, this has all been so great. It's such wonderful, wonderful work and teachings. Claim your free gift now, folks, is where you can claim your free gift now, folks. That sounds so formal. Hi, guys. You've been with me for a while probably, and you've gotten to know me. Claim your free gift. That's where you can grab this ebook and this guide to taming your inner critic. And it's right there on that speaker page. Now, before we wrap up, is there any last words you want to leave our audience with?
I just always want to really stress that healing is possible. You know, healing is possible. Stay open, have hope. You know, transformation is there, and we just have to do the best we can to stay open to that possibility. Healing is possible. I'm a testament to it. I see it all the time. And we need you guys, you know, for all you listeners, we need you. The world needs you to shine your divine light. So, you know, love yourself the best you can. Seek out whatever source you have, all these wonderful gifts from these great people on this summit to help you on your journey. And love, love, love. Shine your light and love, love, love. That's where I'll end for today.
Aw, thank you. Yes, and I'll piggyback on that. We need everyone to recommit. You know, recommit. If not for yourself in the moment when it feels difficult, do it for me. I need you. Junie needs you. You know,
mm-hmm.
we all, there's all your family and friends, all the people, the ripple effect is just is so, you know, amazing. So we need you in that moment
yep.
that might feel difficult. So thank
yeah.
you. Thank you for being here, audience. And
you're
Junie,
welcome.
Thanks for virtual hand support, hand holding and support, and being part of this collective current that we're in right now as SoulSpeak, moving forward and getting carried back to more and more wholeness and transformation and our true self, essential self, magnificent self. Thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
You.
Tune into the next one. You bet, Junie. Thanks
yeah.
again.
Yes, this was wonderful. Thank you so much.